A counterfeit Disney from Argentina? In 2007, Disney Productions published a web notice that was cheerless and provoking. The Mouse Kingdom blog posted over 50 pages of testimony that another Disney had come forward out of Argentina. A counterfeit Walt Disney Mundo S.A., based in South America, had duped millions of dollars from investors in Jamaica, the USA, the UK, and depositors in Dubai. The Disney blog said the owner of the other Walt Disney Company was called Sir Emile Maxim St. Patrick Higgins, and that Disney, the real Disney, not the other one, was initiating legal action. The same entrepreneur who owned another front company called Higgins Warner also owned Walt Disney Mundo S.A. There were disapproving concerns about plagiarized videos and falsehoods pirated media might spread. Public interest in the pseudo-Disney venture turned to suspicion when investigator Ed Chiarini revealed biometric matches linking the ears of Walt Disney and the Nazi Führer. A wealthy cartoonist did not draft the blueprints for Disneyland, in Anaheim, California. In fact, the foundation of Disneyland was approved by the Stanford Research Institute, CIA contractor, initially financed by the ABC Media Network, and engineered by former SS scientist Wernher von Braun's Space Committee. Did the German scientists' families become employees of Disneyland, with new identities? Disneyland did not hire black employees. In July 2012, anger over fatal police shootings of Manuel Diaz and Joel Acevedo in Anaheim, the home of Disneyland, caused race and class tensions. Disneyland producer Ward Kimball had rocket scientists Wernher von Braun, Willy Ley, and Heinz Haber serve as technical consultants during the original design of Tomorrowland. During the 1955 inauguration, Walt Disney dedicated Tomorrowland with these words, "Our scientists today are opening the doors of the space age to achievements that will benefit our children and generations to come." Disney represented his magical kingdom as a living blueprint of our future. By some aid testimony, Walt Disney was a Nazi sympathizer who attended covered upper-class meetings. His 1942 propaganda children's film Der Führer's Face, originally titled Donald Duck in Nazi Land, showed Donald Duck dressed up as a good-natured Nazi. The prospect of a once-bankrupt cartoonist emerging from South America with radical space technology while setting up an American homestead position for German scientists should have set off warning alarms. But Disney averted dissent with the jingoistic smearing of liberalism in the national media. He was a founding member of the anti-communist group Motion Picture Alliance for the Preservation of American Ideals. In 1947, during the Second Red Scare, Disney testified before the House Un-American Activities Committee, HUAC, where he branded Hollywood colleagues as communists. According to author Mark Elliott, one of the most famous film personalities to fall victim to the anti-communist witch hunts was Charlie Chaplin, who put across the great dictator as a pitiful doppelganger. His active campaign for a second front against the Axis powers during World War II and his pleas for the curtailment of anti-communist propaganda angered Disney, who had once so idolized Chaplin. It is alleged that Disney may have had a romance with filmmaker Leni Riefenstahl, whose work he admired. She directed Triumph of the Will, German, Triumph des Willens, a propaganda film that chronicled the 1934 Nazi Party Congress in Nuremberg. Disney's debasing of collectivism in the Hollywood media left faithful observers with one choice: to firm up the existing neo-feudal capitalist customs of an Anglo-Saxon kingdom, or anecdotal Merovingian bloodline, facilitated by an interior courtyard of shrewd Germanic bankers, all of which Walt Disney was a well-connected part of. Heinrich Himmler, Reich leader of the dreaded SS who murdered Jews, wanted to abolish Judaism and establish a new Vatican devoted to a dodgy Aryan master race. Himmler selected Wolfsburg Castle in Germany for this use. The forbidding questions of the castle varied from who authorized Aleister Crowley as a British consul agent for British intelligence, to which Tibetan myths told of Caucasian descent in hollow earth theories. But what was to live on in Disneyland went beyond all imaginings. Former SS acclaimed Wernher von Braun once held the Death's Head insignia, a concession permitted only to accomplished killers. Von Braun forced deprived Jewish detainees to labor unto death in underground factories. he launched rounds of deadly V-2 rocket attacks against the harmless civilians of London. But during the mid-1950s, Walt Disney introduced him as a newfangled symbol of the American dream. His management party would lead Yankees to the stars. Walt Disney produced a selection of educational films on the space program with NASA designer Von Braun, Man in Space and Man and the Moon in 1955, and Mars and Beyond in 1957. The Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, is an agency of the United States Department of Defense responsible for the development of innovative technology for use by the military. The amazing archetypes of Disneyland tested and showcased examples of such new technology. They included the first daily operating monorail train system in the Western Hemisphere, the first computer synchronization of sound and robotics, fiber optics, helicopters, submarines, and even launch systems. Welcome to DARPA Disneyland, the pleasure playground where Operation Paperclip employees spend time with their children. Ronald Reagan was one of the star presenters on Disneyland's inauguration day. The corporate interest group was so restraining that in September 1959, Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev was not permitted to pay a visit to Disneyland. It is no longer a classified secret that at the war's end America got hold of the German space scientists. But what is not fully grasped is a reserved sense that the Soviet Union took in Reich Marshal Hermann Göring's files through the Odessa or Organization of Former SS Members. According to the famous Nazi hunter Simon Wiesenthal, the Odessa was set up in 1946 to aid fugitive SS officers. Its purpose was to launch and support secret escape routes known as Ratlins. Senior Nazi Hermann Göring was the commander-in-chief of the Luftwaffe, German Air Force, and he alone personally kept Hitler's most sizable rocket, UFO, and ET files. Photographs of the Hornbuch and the Vril flying saucers were discovered by American troops during the occupation of Germany, at the beginning of 1945. The mainstream history book versions say that although America got the top German rocket scientists, Russia used only trial and error to launch the world's first satellite. However, some intelligence specialists respectfully presume it far more likely that the Soviet Union got the missing Göring Luftwaffe files, and perhaps a future dictator. According to official reports, someone in all probability smuggled cyanide into Hermann Göring's prison cell during the Nuremberg war crimes trials and he committed suicide on October 15, 1946. See page 116. But would it not have been easier to bring him a cell key? The Soviet Sputnik satellite, launched into orbit in 1957, could guarantee someone a protected place in the Kremlin, many years ahead of the U.S. paperclip scientists. And an ambitious President John F. Kennedy might be done away with. When Walt Disney first acquainted America's youth to the space age, he didn't bring in the famous Professor Albert Einstein of Princeton University. As a minor league option, Disney presented Wernher von Braun and a bunch of former SS rocket scientists. Disney himself later premiered the world's first helicopter on TV, developed by the Nazis. In 1958, the UK, America, and Australia banned the practice of subliminal advertising. But the endeavor of subliminal messaging evidently managed to be applied in Walt Disney's productions. Before long, comic characters snorting drugs or with erections, sexual phallic signs, and other porno symbols were reportedly discovered embedded in frames of children's movies. The IG Farben Chemical Industrial Unit at the Auschwitz concentration camp developed synthetic rubber, a headway to the booming condom industry. In the 1960s, American society shifted from the nuclear family to raunchy TV culture. DARPA is spending trillions of dollars to bring about endless upcoming wars. Its young mercenaries are trained to distantly maneuver unmanned drones, shoot deadly weapons at their own citizens, and live on as survivalists by eating creepy crawlies. Did the mysterious Disney-Nazi connection arise from a paperclip mass media conspiracy or the day-by-day loss of humanity? Why did a once penniless decorative artist go to Argentina, get access to remarkable space-age technology and parade former Nazi SS officers in children's TV shows? Why were subliminal messages planted in his cartoons for kids? For example, In Der Führer's Face, Donald Duck is primarily depicted as a trusty Nazi worker. But he is not at risk of harsh punishments we often see in other children's caricatures, such as enormous objects hitting people's heads or vehicles exploding over cliffs. Donald's personal complaint is that he works overtime, has little riches and stands at attention too often. Donald Duck awakens from a dream to find himself transported with satisfaction to the Statue of Liberty. In this 1942 animation, the Führer's subliminal face is that of a loyal Nazi committed to America. It also launched a kids' pop hit song. MKUltra was the development of a brainwashing agenda that was taken from illicit Nazi probes during the Second World War. It was a covert CIA human research program into mind control that used media manipulation and mass drugging of teens. Professor Albert Einstein's death was reported the year Disneyland opened. Dr. Heinz Haber, a testy Disneyland engineer, was a German physicist who spent World War II conducting research on high-speed, high-altitude flight for the Luftwaffe Institute for Aviation Medicine. In order to assess the risks faced by German Air Force pilots, the Institute performed experiments on hundreds of inmates at the Dachau concentration camp near Munich. The inmates who survived these experiments were usually killed and then dissected. In the 1950s, Heinz Haber became the chief scientific consultant to Walt Disney Productions and co-hosted Man in Space with von Braun. A startling report said U.S. President Dwight Eisenhower met in the 1950s with Valiant Thor, or Val Thor, who supposedly was the assumed name of a human-posing alien. Alleged photos of good-looking Val Thor suggest a likeness to a youthful Wernher von Braun, taking it easy in a dapper American fashion. Legends say the Norse god Thor threw more hammers and missiles at mankind than any other individual in history. But was the sketchy 1950s alien get-together just a charade to protect Washington from the newspaper disgrace of letting ardent Nazis into America? Or were paperclip space scientists the easy bait of an overriding alien abduction? A former Pentagon consultant recently confirmed that President Eisenhower in fact had top-secret meetings with aliens. The 34th President of the United States met the extraterrestrials at a remote air base in New Mexico in 1954, according to lecturer and author Timothy Good. Conspiracy theorists have circulated increased rumors in recent months that the meeting between the commander-in-chief and people from another planet took place. But the claims from Mr. Good, a former U.S. Congress and Pentagon consultant, are the first to be made publicly by a prominent academic. Anthony Bond, President Eisenhower had three secret meetings with aliens, former Pentagon consultant claims, Daily Mail, February 15, 2012. Valiant Thor supposedly spoke of Christ's morality as a savior in the universe. Von Braun warned that his ballistic missile design was a deadly weapon. He said that he reached out to the United States by surrendering such a weapon to people who are guided by the Bible. Wernher von Braun was responsible for the production and operation of the German V-2 combat rocket during World War II, using concentration camp prisoners as slave laborers in the missile program. More people died building the V-2 rocket than were killed by it as a weapon. Von Braun got American physicist Robert Goddard's plans from various journals and modified some to build his missiles. His grand achievement as the world's most eminent rocket scientist was the design of the Saturn V booster rocket that helped land the first men on the moon. Carol Rosen, a former spokesperson for Wernher von Braun, said he warned her prior to his death in 1977 that governments wanted to develop dangerous space-based weapons as a false justification to engage in battle with an extraterrestrial presence. Like the spiritualist Aviatrix Sigrun, perhaps lofty members of the occult Vril and Thule Gesellschaft societies assigned alien code names to their crack pilots and German space scientists, following a flighty rapport of seances and sparkling wine. President Eisenhower may have used the extraterrestrial pretext to hide from view the American staffing of disagreeable Nazis. Heinz Haber and Wernher von Braun were drawn into Operation Paperclip. Walt Disney hired both German scientists subsequent to his mystifying goodwill mission to South America. The Nuremberg Medical Tribunal allowed Nazi war criminals to be rescued to the United States by Disney, resulting in a major subsidy to the development of NASA. Von Braun was among those scientists for whom the U.S. Joint Intelligence Objectives Agency created false employment histories and expunged Nazi Party memberships and regime affiliations from the public record. Once bleached of their Nazism, the U.S. government granted the scientists security clearance to work in the United States. Wikipedia.org. Arthur Rudolph was another paperclip rocket engineer and tentacle of the Nazi Party who shared responsibility for the development of the German V-2 rocket. Arthur Rudolph and his team attended the public hangings of several prisoners. After World War II, Rudolph was brought to the United States and became part of the space program. Rudolph worked for the military and NASA, where he managed the development of important systems like the Pershing missile and the Saturn V moon rocket. Nazi hunter Eli Rosenbaum pointed him out for possible war crimes, and in 1984 Rudolph agreed to leave the United States and renounce his U.S. citizenship. Operation Paperclip also protected intelligence operatives like Klaus Barbie, a captain in the Gestapo, known as the Butcher of Lyon, responsible for the deaths of thousands. He allegedly devised the CIA plan for murdering Che Guevara. Barbie was sentenced to life imprisonment in 1987 for crimes against humanity and reportedly died 4 years later. So as to salvage guilt-ridden German scientists, perhaps escapee Nazi officers were categorized according to rank as human-posing aliens and after the war clandestinely transported to the USA with the collaboration of cultural emissaries. A government endowment authorized by President Roosevelt assigned a Walt Disney reconnaissance delegation to South America. In a September 17, 2009 interview, What Walt Disney Learned from South America, the National Public Radio reported, in 1941, on the eve of America's entry to World War II, President Franklin Roosevelt wanted to curb the influence of Nazis and fascists in South America. So the president enlisted someone who embodied the American capitalist spirit, Walt Disney. At the time, there were other cultural ambassadors who traveled on behalf of the Good Neighbor program, like Errol Flynn and Douglas Fairbanks, Jr., as well as the filmmaker Orson Welles, who captivated Brazil. Walt Disney went with 16 of his best artists on an extended trip to Brazil, Argentina, and Chile. Ted Thomas wrote and produced the 2008 documentary Walt and El Grupo. The group was filmed dancing with the locals and riding horses and sightseeing and going to an awful lot of parties. But the actual political motive for Disney's World War II trip to Latin America was to stop the growing influence of Nazis and fascists. The U.S. government wanted to block cultural penetration by the Nazis and prevent South America from entering the war on Germany's side. The Führer, on the other hand, sought to keep South America out of the war in order to safeguard potential Nazi hideaways and provide for upcoming Odessa escape routes. Mickey Mouse was a top-secret password to the Allies for the 1944 D-Day invasion of Normandy. To Hitler's doubles, a rat line stood for a fail-safe exit passage. Heavy-eyed of handshaking with elected officials, Walt Disney met the president of Brazil at that time, and he also met the president and vice president of Argentina. Declassified CIA files suggest Errol Flynn was an active Nazi spy, and it was said that Walt Disney attended pro-German conferences. With reluctance, it was later divulged that Douglas Fairbanks, Jr. was trained in military deception to seize naval bases at the outbreak of the war. How were such wary cultural emissaries supposed to stop a fascist upsurge in good neighbor territories? On the Straight Dope website, journalist Cecil Adams referred to the Walt Disney debate. There is some inconclusive evidence that he might have been an FBI informant. In 1933, the German-American Bund was founded. An association of German immigrants to America, the Bund had a definite pro-Nazi slant. Disney animator Art Babbitt claimed his boss had a strong interest in, if not outright sympathy for, the Bund. In the immediate years before we entered the war, there was a small, but fiercely loyal, I suppose legal, following of the Nazi Party. There were open meetings, anybody could attend, and I wanted to see what was going on myself. On more than one occasion I observed Walt Disney and Disney's lawyer Gunther Lessing there, along with a lot of prominent Nazi-afflicted Hollywood personalities. Disney was going to meetings all the time. Another attention-grabbing leak was that Walt Disney presumably continued to pay guarded visits to South America meticulously after the war. The Eva Perón Foundation initiated the Republic of Children on November 26, 1951. Also known as the City of Children, it is a theme park west of La Plata that works as a recreational city. The theme park in Argentina was designed both for children's amusement and for their education in moral values. According to the official website of the Republic of Children, in 1950 Walt Disney visited the park and, surprised by the beauty, was inspired to build Disneyland. There were no other reports of Walt Disney visiting Argentina in 1950. Walt Disney's World War II tour of South America was a high-status publicity stunt. He most likely continued to attend confidential meetings throughout the war years for the U.S. government. Between 1942 and 1945, Disney was involved in the making of official World War II policy for the U.S. government. The well-known friendliness of Disney's productions benefited the government in turning out pro-American war propaganda. During World War II, Disney made films for every branch of the U.S. government. The government looked to Walt Disney more than any other studio chief as a builder of public morale, providing instruction and training to the sailors and soldiers. The U.S. Army and Navy Bureau of Aeronautics took into service most of the Disney Studios facilities where the workforce produced military training and instruction films for the war. The 1943 feature film Victory Through Air Power, for example, endorsed bombardment from airplanes and hinted at the future development of ballistic missiles. Perhaps Walt Disney went to South America once more when the U.S. Coordinator of Inter-American Affairs, Office of Inter-American Affairs, OIAA, employed him to make an instructive film about the Amazon Basin, which resulted in the 1944 animated short, The Amazon Awakens. J.B. Kaufman's 2009 book, South of the Border with Disney, Walt Disney and the Good Neighbor Program, 1941-1948, reveals details of the Disney tour. But despite his enterprise mission, he built no Disney theme park in Argentina. Disney Studio released The Three Caballeros in 1945. Walt Disney's tour to Argentina, so they say, inclined him to use the actor Guy Williams as Zorro, 1957, the cloak and dagger disguise of nobleman Don Diego de la Vega, a master of double identity for an admirable cause. Impersonation fraud does not mean that somebody must act out the role of another person day in, day out. Gustav Weller could be a stand-in for weeks at the Berghof, and Julius Schreck in Berlin, while the Führer was perhaps quiescent in South America. Impersonation fraud could also, for example, be a simple 90-minute performance. Imagine that Maurice and Herman are billionaire venture capitalists creating an accord for an aerospace trust. But an agent provocateur wants to prevent it. A convincing but deplorable imitation of Herman in a public reception is all it may take to compel Maurice to terminate the industry deal, set off agitated accusations, and under no circumstances speak to Herman for several months. A dozen Rolls-Royce limousines were double-parked in front of an exclusive hotel. Gentlemen wearing tuxedos and golden turbans nobly stepped out. Women clothed like belly dancers followed. It's Alice, an untutored porter whispered to his buddy who stood in awe of the luxurious automobiles. It's Alice Turk Rally. The occultists group arrived uninvited to the security summit convention. After a rage of room service requests and stairwell orgies, they departed on cue, with unsettled receipts. Soon after, the dead body of a retired military hero who mulled over a political calling was discovered in one of the hotel rooms. His pockets were stuffed with pornographic snapshots, the evident guilt confessions of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The List of Adrian Messenger is a 1963 crime thriller based on the 1959 novel by Philip MacDonald, and directed by John Huston. It is about an ex-British intelligence officer, George C. Scott, investigating a series of apparently unrelated deaths. A number of top Hollywood actors were made known to show in the film, totally disguised in makeup: Tony Curtis, as an organ grinder, Kirk Douglas, as the killer, Burt Lancaster, as an old woman, Frank Sinatra, as a gypsy horse trader, and Robert Mitchum, as the final victim. Their identities are revealed to the viewers at the very end of the film, when each star removes his disguise and makeup by John Chambers. John Chambers was a leading makeup artist who repaired faces and made prosthetic limbs for wounded veterans. He worked on the pilot of Mission Impossible and was given the highest civilian award from the CIA for his help with various transformations. Chambers' special efforts helped his co-worker Tony Mendez rescue American embassy personnel who escaped capture by Iranian militants in 1979. Ben Affleck played CIA agent Tony Mendez in the 2012 American film Argo. Some of Chambers' work is at the International Spy Museum in Washington, D.C. John Chambers received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Crisis actors are professional actors bankrolled by some government agencies and the mainstream media for disaster drills. There are companies that supply them. In 2014, the United States Marine Corps was looking for a group of good actors to play as terrorists in upcoming training exercises, putting out a casting call that could give clues about what the Pentagon is prepping for. A solicitation put out in April 2014, by the U.S. Marine Corps sought an actor to play an Al-Qaeda personality, a French speaker, Je suis Charlie, with a college degree in chemistry and three men who could play high-value insurgent roles. The actors were needed for training exercises in South Carolina during the summer. Each final exercise is an 8-day training event which will be conducted by members of Marine Special Operation Company Mike, a statement of work on the exercise reads. The exercise is considered to be an important segment of collective training of Marine Special Operation Company Mike's pre-deployment training program. A total of 25 actors, all of whom must be U.S. citizens and be able to adapt to multiple scenarios, are being sought for the exercises, which will also feature the use of AK-47s with blank ammunition provided by BKM Enterprises. Marines looking for a few good actors, Fox News, April 22, 2014. When Disney Productions exposed the fraudulent Disney out of Argentina, it said that a 10-minute video on the Walt Disney Mundo SA site showed Mickey and Minnie in front of Sleeping Beauty Castle, suggesting that the deception was a completely Disney-style experience. It soon further emerged that there was probably no such knighted Sir Max Higgins, only a thus far Sphinx-like counterfeit operation. An irritated commenter posted, "Thousands of people in Jamaica sold their houses, cars, and properties and invested millions of US dollars in his Higgins Warner company. The majority of people were fooled by master con man Kenrick Gordon Gilpin and his secretary known to most as Valda." Kenrick Gilpin was formerly employed by Zenith Insurance Company in Jamaica. Max Higgins is living the good life in Dubai. He has accounts with the Emirates Bank. The bank is unknowingly aiding and abetting a criminal conspiracy of international proportions. An investor named Omar Palmer wrote, "I live in Jamaica, and I invested all of my life savings with Emil Maxim St. Patrick Higgins, nearly $70,000, US $70,000. I have tried everything that I can to recover some of the money. I have reported the matter to the Dubai police and they promised to investigate the matter for me. I have also reported the matter to the FBI in the United States." Someone named Joan replied, "They both have defrauded me and thousands of others in Jamaica, US, and the UK of thousands of dollars." There are some rather unsettling parallels between Walt Disney's South American goodwill mission and Adolf Hitler's Pacewalk miracle cure. Is a shared underlying blueprint for impersonation fraud implicated here? Remarkably, both swap-over histories came into line at the end of World War I, with unnoticed ambulance drivers, as in the circle of poet E.E. Cummings, who became a war prisoner. Ernest Hemingway was also a World War I ambulance driver who afterward talked about the FBI spying on him and committed suicide in 1961. Tavistock Clinic evolved from soldiers' treatment units. Young Walt Disney joined the Red Cross and went to France for a year. After the peace agreement was signed in 1918, Disney drove an ambulance. Like the Pacewalk military hospital patient, Walt Disney conceivably veered into the wrong traffic lane at the wrong time, making him a feasible victim of identity theft in an enormous room. Both men were visual artists who at switchover lost their interest in drawing and experimented with engineering fantasies instead. The autograph signatures of both men noticeably changed. The new Disney signature is a corporate trademark. It now allegedly contains 36S, the number of the beast, which Aleister Crowley boasted of. Both men provoked diplomacy without credentials. Neither had qualified in an institution of higher learning, yet they were both officially delegated with policies that could force nations into battle. They turned against many of their snooping friends and assistants and branded them as communists. Rumormongers told of cryogenic freezing preservation. Yet in the end, both men's bodies were cremated according to official evidence, with a vital organ removed. Disney reportedly died of cancer on December 15, 1966, after removal of the left lung. And most extraordinarily, both men experienced a startling congruence of psychosexual gratification. They apparently swapped the same partner. Filmmaker Leni Riefenstahl treaded softly within Herr Wolf's private lodgings, when no guards or servants were at hand. Uncle Walt courted pretty Leni Riefenstahl when she was jobless and companionless in Hollywood's high society. Does a scoundrel return to his significant other? Were Herr Wolf and Uncle Walt two production roles, a Nazi tyrant and a studio chief played by a crisis actor who was a specialist in political impersonation deceptions? Why was a Hollywood cartoonist entrusted with a diplomatic trip that could push nations into a global conflict? Opinions roared that the Führer took flight to Argentina. In 2008, the Ben Lomond Free Press posted a Reuters report that the director of a Norwegian museum said he found cartoons drawn by Adolf Hitler during the Second World War. William Hackvaag, the director of a war museum in northern Norway, said he found the drawings hidden in a painting signed A. Hitler that he bought at an auction in Germany. The colored cartoons included sketches of characters from the 1937 Disney film Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, which were signed A.H., and an unsigned sketch of Pinocchio from the 1940 Disney film. There is no independent confirmation the drawings were the work of the Nazi leader, but Hitler is known to have owned a copy of Snow White and to have viewed it in his private cinema. Mr. Hackvaag, who said he had performed tests on the paintings which suggested that they dated from 1940, said, "I am 100% sure that these are drawings by Hitler. If one wanted to make a forgery, one would never hide it in the back of a picture, where it might never be discovered." Walt Disney, the Hitler connection. The Ben Lomond Free Press. February 26, 2008. Correspondingly in 2008, the Jewish News Weekly of Northern California reported that the Wonderland Theater Company presented a staged perception in San Francisco. This much we know: Walt Disney visited Nazi Germany in 1935. But did the pioneering animator actually meet with Hitler in Munich, and did he secretly admire the dictator? And was Hitler the one who came up with the concept of Disneyland? These and other equally bizarre questions get a theatrical workover in Disney and Deutschland, a play by San Francisco playwright John Powers. The playwright says four of six Disney biographers openly admit his anti-Semitism and hatred of Jews in Hollywood. As for the Magic Kingdom connection, Powers has his main characters discussing Germania, a scheme cooked up by Hitler and his personal architect, Albert Speer. It was to be an idealized German city extolling so-called Aryan values. There is no evidence Disney ever saw a scale model of Germania on his visit. But it is a fact that Sleeping Beauty's castle at Disneyland closely resembles Bavaria's Neuschwanstein castle, right down to the last spinning wheel. Dan Pine, The Naziest Place on Earth, in What If? Scenario, playwright Plum's Hitler Disney Connection, jweekly.com. January 22, 2008. Conspiracy theorists claimed Hitler's double was really Hollywood's most sought-after magician, a connoisseur of masquerade. To believers in magic, the establishment of Disneyland was a portentous sign that the workings of the great beast for a sorcerer's kingdom at last came to pass. Perhaps the studio chief's supervisory mission was to portray the Führer's face to America with charitable affection, along with a renegade lineup of Nazi rocket scientists for Operation Paperclip. What better approach than through the hearts and minds of youngsters? The Hitler Youth Movement had encouraged a diversity of activities. Pope Benedict XVI, Joseph Ratzinger, was a young adult member for a short while. Its backdrop of deep-seated principles could also persuade American teenagers that German space academics were true friends of the USA. Walt Disney's televised tributes to Wernher von Braun and other prickly Nazi scientists became a family home showcase for the military-industrial rocket and ballistic missile trade, even if millions more would be pointlessly assaulted. America's founding fathers rose up against English authority, which was in actual fact a tyrannical Germanic bloodline. George III, King of England and Ireland, was of German lineage, he was also King of Hanover, and supposedly did not formally speak English in his regal court. He was insane by 1811, possibly due to breeding within one family. With the 1937 feature animation of Snow White, Walt Disney bankrolled the prudish romance of feudal castles and Merovingian royal bloodlines, myths of Germanic racial bias, to young pliable minds. Disney also allegedly concealed subliminal sex imagery and phallic symbols in children's cartoons. Outwardly, the renovation of the Führer's face stood for the founding of the Fourth Reich. The proposals of an exiled German chancellor could subliminally mesmerize the subconscious minds of young learners through the fleshy illusions of Hollywood. Disney biographer Neil Gabler wrote that Disney willingly allied himself with people who were anti-Semitic, and that reputation stuck. He was never really able to expunge it throughout his life. In other words, he was the center of attention at elitist pro-German gatherings, people stood up when he entered a room. The Walt Disney Family Museum disclosed that Disney did have difficult relationships with specific Jewish individuals, and that ethnic stereotypes of the 1930s were built into his cartoons. In a covered-up version of The Three Little Pigs, the bad wolf was made to look like a Jewish peddler. With the power of the mass media behind Disney, he had little to worry about. News of nude drawing classes and pornographic fuss never reached the light of day. Walt Disney was rendered on the silver screen as a fabulously modern saint, maintaining a very well-constructed front of wholesomeness. Behind such strict fronts of legalistic morals, cleanliness, and soberness, you will often find lots of guilt and high-level satanic ritual. For instance, Hitler, who was by the way also a failed artist and who liked mechanical things more than people, obsessively washed his hands many times a day, out of guilt, and so did Walt Disney. Walt obsessively washed his hands several times an hour, every hour. Fritz Springmeier, The 13 Illuminati Bloodlines, 2003. The idea of a studio double attempting to masquerade as Walt Disney seemed ridiculous. But the potential of a counterfeit Disney operation in Argentina supplying pirated media and junk stocks was a serious matter.